There's a lot of study and conversation going on right now about how we approach corrections, right down to the basic decisions of who should be locked up for what and what should happen in lockup. Young men locked up earlier in life are a particular focus. If they can be rehabilitated, what's the best approach? Well, our guest offers one approach. Mark Adams is the executive director of the Ranch of Second Chances. The ranch offers a place for young men between incarceration and full reentry into society. It's near the city of Rogue River. Mark, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
How long ago did the Ranch of Second Chances get started?
Well, we're brand new as far as a startup. Before I get started, Jeff, I want to introduce one of my board members who's here with me, Dr. Eric Morrell. And so he's with us this morning. And the idea came up in about 1998 for me. And so as I worked for the Oregon Youth Authority and learned and watched and listened, had a lot of conversations with these young men, I finally realized that there was a piece that was missing. And the piece was that they get locked up as young boys, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old. Some of them then, depending on the crimes, are released back into the communities when they're young men who are 23, 24 years old, and they have no place to go. They don't have the ability to hook into the things that are necessary for them to be successful. And so over a period of time, I just began to put together information and talking to people like Dr. Morrell and talking to people from the agency that had been around a long time and tried to come up with this plan that we could put some place together geographically that we could offer a home, you know, good nutritional food, expectations, career planning, education, and, you know, giving back to their communities and start to transition them into what real life is and what it is to be a functioning adult.
And you said some of these people are locked up at the age of 13 or so, and then from that age on. So generally, do they not have homes to go back to? Have their family moved on? Were their families already sort of exploded by the time they got into trouble with the law?
Well, I think for the most part, they all have families, but some of them are very dysfunctional. And so they're afraid to go back to where they came from because they know that if they do, that they don't have the skills to navigate themselves through the process and keep on the good road. So they tend to go back to what they know. And then a lot of times they end up, as we all know, back into the Department of Corrections because they're now adults.
Oh, right. So they will not be subject to the authority of the Oregon Youth Authority at this point.
No. And the Oregon Youth Authority houses young men from the ages 12 to 25. And so it's a wide range. And then what our focus is providing transitional services for young men ages 18 to 25. And the reason for that is because we're looking at one of the main components of life, as we all know, is work. And so our whole program is based off of work, you know, career planning, work, understanding that every day you have to get up and you have to go to work. And, you know, so that's a big component with what we do.
Mark Adams, I noticed that there are, if you Google Ranch of Second Chances, there are quite a few operations across the country with similar names. I assume they're not franchises of one another, but this is a fairly popular sort of name then, the Ranch of Second Chances or the Second Chance Ranch.
Yeah, you see it now and then. The only thing that's different about ours is the fact that we went to the number two and not spelled out second. And the fact that what we do, I truly believe what we do is not done anywhere that I've found. And it's not that we're something special. It's just that we, between the people that we have on board, our board of directors and our staffing, you know, we have some very, very competent individuals that have been around this industry a long time. So it's not like we fell off the turnip truck yesterday. You know, we understand who we're dealing with. We understand the needs and the wants of these young men. And I think the main thing for anybody in life is that when you're doing something you have a passion for and you truly are heartfelt, you'll be very successful. You know, going through life not knowing what you want to do is pretty scary. So I challenge these young men to, when we do our interviews, which sometimes we'll interview 3, 4, 5, 6 times with a young man, I think the main thing for me is to find out what is your dream. You know, what is it you truly want to do? And then try to get them hooked into that, so that they can feel really good about where they're going and what they're trying to accomplish, because they've been locked up, some of them 6, 7, 8, 10 years, and everybody's telling them what to do. you got to go to this group, you got to go to this treatment program, you got to do this, you got to do that. So this is the first time in their life that they actually get to make a choice.
So some of these guys have really been locked up for getting close to half their lives.
Yes, yes.
It's not a happy thought there. We're talking to Mark Adams and Eric Morrell. Mark Adams is the executive director at Ranch of Second Chances near City of Rogue River. Eric Morrell on the board there. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about incarceration, rehabilitation, and appropriate moves and how the Ranch of Second Chances fits into that for young men. 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Mark, you said you've been working for the Oregon Youth Authority, OYA, for quite some time. Where would these young men generally go without a place like the Ranch of Second Chances?
You know, Jeff, if I could chime in, one of the things I was I would offer is that one of the nice things about the Ranch of Second Chances is that it's almost taking a sow's ear and turning it into a silk purse. We take some of these youth who come from high-risk families and, you know, trying to be respectful to them. They really are, in many ways, sort of literally the societal bottom of the barrel. They come from a world where there's been no responsibility, a lot of crime, very poor role modeling on the part of their parents. I actually personally do a lot of psychological evaluations for Child Protective Services in several of the counties locally, and that is almost a feeder, in my opinion, for the Oregon Youth Authority, because these parents are so disturbed then as a result of their drug use and domestic violence and criminal behavior, and then they produce these children who are very high risk and oftentimes end up in the juvenile justice system, ultimately the Oregon Youth Authority, when things get bad enough. So you've got someone who's already been modeled and shaped to behave in a pretty poor, irresponsible, disturbed, criminalistic fashion. And the Ranch of Second Chances, actually, one of the appeals for me is that it offers what I think is a model of the way people in general should live. It has as its motto, it is a Native American, strongly Native American influenced, if not Native American based, cultural program. The motto for the program is Metakwa Yawasing, which means that we are all one. And that has a great appeal for me. I am a very big believer in community and getting an individual to recognize that he or she is part of something bigger than himself, and as a result, participates, gives to others, receives back from others, but is in a fashion of cooperative endeavor. So you're taking these youth who are, again, pretty compromised to begin with, and then really transforming them, if successful, into a youth who would actually be better than the average youth on the street rather than just the same. And in response to your question, some of these youth, we've seen this where these youth at times what we call age out, meaning they hit a certain point and they're done. The probation or parole officer no longer really has authority over them, and they'll do something like just dump them at a Greyhound bus station in Roseburg or something, and then they have to figure out, well, where do they go and get an apartment? Well, it's pretty obvious what's going to happen when you do that. So our alternative to that, I think, is a fairly exciting one, and I think has rather profound societal implications if the program could serve actually as a model for living in general.
And for you, Mark Adams, is the OYA not part of the independent living program that's available for foster children who age out? I mean, is there no other program to get them on their feet, point them in the right place, give them a few bucks to get an apartment?
Well, the Oregon Youth Authority can do things like that. I mean, I don't want to certainly give the impression that's all they ever do is hand them money for a bus ticket and say, you know, sayonara. But it often happens that way. Typically, the parole officers, and I think Mark agrees with this as well, we both have a great deal of respect for OYA. I am the consulting psychologist to the Oregon Youth Authority facility in Grants Pass, and I am very, very committed, as are the people there, to making certain, if possible, that our youth don't become adult criminals. To me, that's always what we consider to be the failure. If one of our youth ends up in the adult penal system, we feel like we've really lost. So they do, OYA does try to set them up in halfway houses and residential placements. There are a few of them in Portland, for example, and in Eugene. foster or semi-foster facilities. So there are those efforts, but it's relatively short-lived. Having three boys of my own who are relatively good boys, so to speak, but still made lots of mistakes, I only shudder when I think about somebody who didn't have half of the benefits that my sons had and then expect them to somehow be successful miraculously without continued mentoring and modeling. It's a pretty risky proposition.
Mark Adams, you mentioned the process of interviewing men for the young men for the ranch. And it sounds like a fairly rigorous process. Describe that to us, would you?
Well, what we try to do is we're in constant contact, obviously, with the Oregon Youth Authority and the Department of Corrections. And so if we, let's say that the superintendent, Mr. Ken Jaron at the facility, they have a young man that they think that might fit our program. So we'll make an appointment. We'll go by. We'll have a conversation with the young man, find out, you know, what it is he's thinking about, where he's going when he gets out, you know, just all the basic stuff, and then start to kind of probe a little bit on his dream and what he might think might be a career plan for him, and if he's interested in going to a place that gives a lot of things and has a lot of opportunity, but at the same time, it's very strict. And there's a lot of really high expectations, and then we come back. So what we do is we interview, we give them information to read. We'll say, gee, we'll come back in a month. I'll stop by and see you again, see how you're doing. You know, so it's a progression thing, and it's to get a really good feel on where this young guy's coming from and whether he really is bought into the fact that he needs to make a change, and that he's willing to do so, because you know the sacrifice to win is the key. And so if he's willing to sacrifice to get to where he needs to go and is willing to do the program, you know, by the letter, and then we'll go forward with, probably having our program director, Ron Weaver, and myself interview him together, even sometimes with Dr. Morrell. So we try to make sure that we cover the bases and get a point of view from everyone about what we think about this young man.
Are there secondary considerations, though, to figuring out who would be a good fit for a Ranch of Second Chances? In other words, they look like they've got all the stuff in a row, but you get a sense they might not fit with the other residents there. Is there any issue like that that would be taken into consideration?
I think that those things will come up. Again, we're a startup, and I believe that every young man is capable of doing whatever he wants. That's my belief. I believe that these young men, I have worked with these young men for 17 years, and I've sit and listened to stories and talk to these guys and watch them cry and laugh and talk about what's important to them and where they're going in their life or where they're not going, because they don't have any idea what it is. They don't know. You start talking about a college education, and they look at you like you're from a foreign country.
Huh. We're talking about the Ranch of Second Chances, a place for young men age 18 to 25 to get back into society or get halfway back to society from being incarcerated for several years. Mark Adams, the executive director, Eric Morrell, a board member at Ranch of Second Chances. You can join our discussion on the exchange, 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. If it is just starting up, is anybody actually there yet, Mark?
Yes, we took ended up taking our first young man November the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 19. He was actually at Rogue Valley Youth Correctional Facility for approximately 18 months. He originates from Mexico City. And so he has a lot of other different pieces to his story, but Javier is a very driven young man that's looking at getting his master's degree in computer science, and so he's on focus now. He's in his second term at Rogue Community College, and he's doing very well, and we knew that he was a young man that had a lot of potential, and that through the interviews and through the fact that I knew him anyway for those 18 months, he was on my living unit at the facility when I worked there. We're really proud of the progress that he's made, and we're kind of enjoying him, taking his journey through those steps. But the college piece for him has been outstanding. I mean, he's actually grabbed onto it hook, line, and sinker, and is so excited about what he's doing and where he's going.
What's the maximum number of men you can handle, and how long would they generally stay?
Well, at at this site right here, we can only go up to 5. What we're looking for right now is a larger piece of property. And so we're in conversation with several different people, and we're always looking for donations, and we're always looking for somebody to help us with that property piece. And that's what we've been trying to accomplish, is to talk to enough people and to get out about and introduce ourselves and let them know, you know, what we're doing. But we're looking for a larger piece of ground that we could ranch, basically because it provides more jobs. We have more room, which then gives us the ability to take in more young men. And, you know, so we have some things on the back burner that might get us into position. We have one that we're working on that is already approved for 15 beds. You know, so what we're trying to do is the tortoise and the hare. I mean, we're moving very slow. We're trying to make sure that we, you know, cover all the bases. We don't want to, you know, run before we crawl. We want to make sure that we're doing the right thing.
The other thing I think Mark could speak to a little bit is that we're also in negotiation with community partners like Lacasse, in terms of which are other nonprofits that have been very well established in the region for doing earth-friendly, engaging in earth-friendly endeavors and projects, and trying to partner up with them as well. That might be an outlet for some of the youth that we have to begin working with them and for them. So it really does have a win-win flavor. And I think part of an implication to your question, you know, how long do they stay? One of the things that was attractive to me, Jeff, about this is that Mark's idea is that when these youth come here, they become part of the family. That's, again, the Metakwe Owasing, which is we're all one. So they leave probably after 2 or 3 years, but they're always part of the ranch family. And Mark has a plan, obviously assuming that the property and the facilities grow, that these individuals can always come back and stay for a while if they want and bring their families once they have families. So it really has kind of a mushrooming flavor or concept to it in terms of, again, developing community and standing behind the people that grew in this community and recognizing that they stay part of our community.
Let us take a phone call. Here's Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Dr. Eric Morrell and Mark Adams about the Ranch of Second Chances near Rogue River.
I do have a quick question. How do you work with the, I guess I would call it the resocialization of the young men? Because almost everyone that I've worked with and families have problems, it is usually the old junior high girls want to be seen with a high school guy, high school girls want to be seen with an older guy. They are maneuvered into strange social situations now with drugs and other thing in the thing. They have to be some way that they can be resocialized where there's an equal balance, where 19-year-old guys are maneuvered by 15-year-old girls, that when it comes to court, the girls are just, well, we're 15, you can't touch us.
Hmm. All right, let's take that up. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the question. Mark?
So are you, or Eric.
Saying,
Jim, that the resocialization of these young men to understand how to interact with their heterosexual counterparts that are age-appropriate? Is that what you're asking?
I believe that's what I heard. He's off the line now.
Oh, okay. Probably the broader question is resocializing in general, since their lifestyle has been one of crime. Certainly, I think the scenario that Jim provided is one in which they may be ending up at times with younger females. I think that's one that we just have to take as it comes. The process of social skills training and socialization is a very person-specific enterprise. So one individual may be highly skilled in picking up the cues quickly and learning to interact with other individuals, and I might not see that there's much that needs to be done. I think the quick answer is that they can always be provided some training in a social skills model in which you could videotape them, you can have them see me interacting with an individual, role play, role modeling, and things like that, so that they end up actually learning new skills. But the longer answer, which I won't make longer, though, is that it is going to be on a case-by-case basis. I mean, many of these youth, I think Jim is on to something, many of these youth end up using drugs because they have social skills deficits. I've seen youth who, and that's not just in the Oregon Youth Authority, this is something I think that's somewhat epidemic, many youth who start smoking weed and doing other types of drugs will report when you assess them that part of the reason they now realize they did it is because they became a different person once they started using drugs. They suddenly had confidence where they never had it before when they were in junior high school, and so they developed this need to have the drug to make them feel better and more socialized. Well, obviously, that can't continue, so training them through a number of social skills, channels, which we can develop on an as-needed basis, would be the thing to get them back into the community in an appropriate way. They're already going, many of them will be going to school, so we'll get samples of problems that they have and then work with each youth specifically on that youth's particular pattern of disturbances or deficits.
All right, just a few seconds left. Mark Adams, what's the funding source for Ranch of Second Chances?
Well, the main funding source is the kids working. Take private donations. We're getting ready to gear up to start our grants process.
Mm-hmm.
We're always looking for corporate donors. We're a 501c3.
All right, so nonprofit. Yeah, we have links to Ranch of Second Chances on our website and Facebook page. I want to thank Mark Adams, the executive director, and Dr. Eric Morrell, board member, for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
Short break on the Exchange. Back with Garrison Keillor.